Take this moment to welcome everyone here this evening. Also, I want to welcome our visitors and especially our new member of this congregation. I had an opportunity to spend some time with Dale yesterday with some others, and I was quite impressed with what I saw, and I was very much would say that I really enjoyed the time that we spent together and the things we were able to talk about. And I think that he will do a great job for us, with us, and hand in hand as we continue to try to spread the gospel. I believe he's got a lot of talent that we can tap into and a lot of knowledge. So very happy to have him with us. And I hope that you all make an opportunity to welcome him, as I know you all can do so well. So that is just some great news for us. And tonight, what we're going to consider and talk about is this idea of forgiveness. And I think, well, I know that this topic is one that is something that we should always study, consider, keep in the forefronts of our mind. You know, forgiveness is often spoken about. There's extensive teachings about it through the inspired word. It's one of those things that it is a common theme that we will continue to read about. And, you know, I would think that the devil probably delights in the fact of how we take this particular scripture and struggle with it. Because that is one of the things that I'm sure he's happy about, when we don't forgive the way that we should, and when we hold grudges, and we you know, have a hard time allowing ourselves to get all bundled up in this type of a situation and let things to bother us beyond what it should. The brethren, I believe all of us need to study the teachings of God's Word, especially on this matter of forgiveness. Jesus taught more on this subject, actually, than water baptism. So that should tell us something about what God intends and what Jesus expects from us. The apostles found it necessary to admonish Christians in Colossians chapter 3 at verse 13. They said, "Forbear one another and forgive one another." So it's not anything that is new. It's something that's been going on for decades and you know, just thousands of years. And so it's something that we really need to understand and take to heart. And so as we start our consideration tonight, I think, first of all, let's, before we go to God's Word, let's go to some other words of inspired, not inspired, but wisdom, you know, driven people who are able to put their words out there to sort of help others. And here is one that says, "He who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself." And so we see how important this type of a situation is. God tells us that we need to be able to forgive for a multitude of reasons, and we'll touch on a lot of those this evening. However, we're going to be needing forgiveness from others because we are not perfect people. I know we wish to be perfect people. I know we wish we could do things and not make mistakes. I know we wish we could do things and not offend people, that we could just live our lives and not ever have to worry about this. But if we are expecting to have other people forgive us for our shortcomings and for our faults and for our deliberacy and the things that we do, then we need to understand that that pathway goes two ways. And we don't want to burn that bridge or break that bridge, because we may have to take that same walk ourselves. Benjamin Franklin said, "Doing injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging one makes you even with him. Forgiving sets you above him." And so, a very interesting concept there, because I'm not one to say that avenging is going to make us even, so don't take that, but the point of the matter is that if you are able to forgive, you become that higher road. You are on that higher level, if you will. And that's really where we always want to try to find ourselves. One thing that I do want to say is that many a man will be lost, not because he was a liar, an adulterer, or a murderer, but because he refused to forgive. So, the need to forgive is universal. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 at verse 22, "But the Scripture has confirmed all, has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." So what we see here is that we are all under sin, every one of us. The Bible is clear to tell us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, when He was looking down upon His people back in the early days, and when He was doing so much for them, like right there, person to person, if you will, and even in those days, He had said that these people have nothing in their thoughts but evil. They are evil thoughts always. And the things that man can come up with, God knows He put our brains and our minds into us, but the things that we come up with are evil thoughts, many, many times, evil doings. It crosses so many different, you know, pathways that we do this. We want to get ahead, and so what do? We may have some thoughts of how to get ahead in life, and that may be at the expense of others. We may want to, who doesn't like a competition? Everybody likes a competition, and I know that for you get a bunch of guys together, it is like almost always a competition, no matter what you're doing. We used to go out as a group of guys and go eat chicken wings. And I will tell you that I never, ever knew that there was such thing as a chicken dance until I saw somebody win at the contest of how many chicken wings somebody could eat. Rejoicing in the chicken dance. Competition. We have competitions in just about anything we do. Two guys leave one place, going to make it to meet at another place. There's a competition. Who can get there first? I mean, just anything you can think about, we have competitions about. But when those competitions happen, are we trying to get ahead of someone in a way that we're going to have evil thoughts on what to do? You know, I would watch some of the cartoons back in the day when I was a little kid, and one of the ones I would watch a lot of was the Wacky Racers. I don't know if you remember that one, but the Wacky Racers, and what they would do is they would do things to stop the other cars from being able to beat them in the race. And so it's not unheard of. It's what you see all the time. People get these thoughts, and how can I stop the other person from moving ahead? But we have all kinds of things that we understand. We are under sin. We have all fallen short, and that is plain and simple. That's God's word. That's said and done. So where do we go from there? Well, we know that there's a promise for us. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is just not in us. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So we see that we accept the fact that we're sinners. However, we know that He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And I tell you, this to me is one of the most important things that we will ever talk about. Because without His forgiveness of sin, and without His ability to forgive us of our shortfalls, you and I have no hope. You and I have already ruined our life, if that's the case. I mean, we may as well pack it up. But because of the promise that God has given to His people, all people, that if you do what is asked of you, and if you put forth this effort, and if you follow the commandments, and if you be obedient to the gospel call, and through the water baptism, and you do what is necessary, then He will forgive you of those sins. And what an important blessing that is. What a priceless blessing that is. And then it doesn't stop there. It's not the fact that He just gives you a second chance. It's not that He just gave me a second chance. However, when I fell after that, He's promised to forgive me once again. And when I fell after that, He's willing and promised to forgive me once again. The forgiveness is tremendous, and I will assure you that He has forgiven me more in my lifetime than I have ever put forth an effort to forgive anybody else. No one has offended me or hurt me or sinned against me close to what I've done in my years to God. So that starts to lay out the foundation for me. And I would suggest, expect, I would probably think that your situation is much like mine. So when we think about these things, it's necessary that we not only recognize the scope of our guilt before God, but we must also have this same forgiving heart. That is very important. So when we talk about trying to be Christ-like and we want to be godly in our behaviors, this is one that should rise to the top. I know love is right there and very important, but right along with love comes this idea of forgiveness. We have to be able to do this. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 17 at verse 4 that if someone sins against you seven times in a day, you're to forgive them if they've come and asked for forgiveness and want to repent of their way. We're to forgive them seven times. And then carrying on from there and talking to his disciples, he taught in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 22 that you're to forgive 70 times seven times. And the idea of this is it's infinite, really, but we're to forgive. And it all really comes down to that we're not going to be forgiven of our Heavenly Father if we fail to forgive others of their transgressions. In Matthew chapter 6, at verse 14 and 15, what we read is, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we could probably stop right here, and I could probably make printouts of this and hand it to everybody and say, okay, go your way and just read this every single morning, every single afternoon, and every single evening. Because if we don't understand and we can't perfect this idea of forgiveness, then we're not going to be forgiven by our Heavenly Father. Because this is what we're reading. He will do it, but if we don't forgive men, then our Father's not going to forgive us. And we can't play around with things like this. These are very important pieces of Scripture that we're looking at. We have a duty, really, to forgive. There are those that will say, well, I got no duty to this because I am not my brother's keeper. And there are many that are going to be out there when we talk to folks and we try and tell them about maybe a shortfall, and they're going to say, well, who are you? You are not my keeper. However, that thought process is a little contrary to what God teaches us. We are to look out for one another, and we all have a responsibility to one another. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. Continues on to say that if he doesn't, then you take someone else with you, and then you can continue on. And there's directives for us after that. But we're to go to that brother, and we're to talk to them about this. Continuing on in Luke chapter 17 at verse 3, it says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. On the other hand, if we have a responsibility that if a brother has something against us, we have the obligation to go and seek the reconciliation. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Folks, what we're seeing is we have a responsibility no matter which way it is. If our brother has a fault against us, if he's hurt us, we are to go to him and to talk to him about that. If we've hurt them, we're to go to them and talk to them about that and ask for forgiveness. So it doesn't matter who's involved here. We have a responsibility on both sides to help fix this problem. And I know why this is such a difficult topic, because as people, we really don't like conflict. Plain and simple. We don't like it. We prefer not to have conflicts in our lives. So we have to come to grips that we have responsibility no matter what. If we have a situation between us and a brother, between us and a sister, whatever the situation is, we have a responsibility to go and to try to fix this. And with this comes this idea of forgiveness, one way or the other. In many instances, the hard, cold truth is that the problem exists when the involved parties don't want them solved. And that is a very sad state of condition. But sometimes that is it. Somebody just doesn't want to solve that problem. Grudges are held without any desire or intent to forgive. And if you've ever held a grudge, you know what I'm talking about. If someone has ever held a grudge against you, you know what I'm talking about. It can make for some very uncomfortable situations, to say the least. Then there are offenders who have too much stubborn pride to repent. We see that. When conditions like this exist, unsolved problems are just expected to linger and to last longer. That's what's going to happen. You've got to have the parties who want to make it right. However, regardless, it is our job, our responsibility to address it and to get it out on the table. When the parties want to reconcile, the problem will soon be amended. In Colossians chapter 3 at verse 13, it says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do." So you see how it all kind of ties together here. You know, we do have a need to forgive. We have a duty to forgive because of the importance of what we're talking about. I know that we would prefer not to hear that we have a duty to make this happen. We like to put it on the other person. We like to say, well, that person wronged me, and I'm going to wait right here till they come and say they're sorry. And it's interesting because we've just gone through the scriptures, and we see that God puts that onus on us, no matter who's at fault. But there are those, and I've spoken to some over the years, that will take this idea of forgiveness and say, well, God doesn't just forgive until that person comes and asks for forgiveness. He backs away. And so that's how I do it. It was good enough for God, it's good enough for me. And I do not have to forgive anyone until they come to me. But we see very clearly in the scriptures we've seen so far that it's our responsibility to go there, whether we're at fault or whether we're the one who've been hurt. It's our job to try to reconcile. So, along with that, there's a cost of forgiveness. Absolutely, there's a cost of forgiveness. In Psalm 79 and verse 8, "Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low," the psalmist writes. And frequently in prayer, our public prayers, the men will say, "Father, forgive us and remember our sins no more." Sometimes that's asked. Yet, who of us has not heard one who claims to have forgiven another's trespasses and say, "I can forgive, but I'll never forget. I'm never going to forget what they did to me. Now, what's your position on that? Is that a good, strong position? I'm going to forgive them. They've asked. I'm going to forgive them, but I'll never forget. Now, think about that for just a moment. Forgiveness really goes hand in hand when we're talking about spiritual forgiveness and godly forgiveness is forgetfulness. It could be synonymous with that. Forgiveness and forgetfulness. Those two can go hand in hand. We are not to hold that person guilty of the offense. We're not to lay that charge against them again. And here's where we get into some complicated territory. Because it is so easy to take someone and forgive them. Yes, I forgive you. And then you go to bury that. But when you bury it, you make sure you mark it with an X. You make sure you put flares on it so that you never lose sight of it. And when you need it, you can go back and dig it up. As those who have spouses, what is the one thing when it comes to arguments that probably is your least favorite part of that argument or heavy discussion? Is it not normally when one spouse or the other will bring up something that happened in the past? We're talking about something now, but yet then we bring up something that happened in the past. And then what does that spark the other one to do? Oh, maybe perhaps go back and dig up something they had that happened in the past. And we get nowhere there. Because if we've forgiven, then we are to have forgotten that. There's finality about forgiveness when forgiveness is from the heart. And only such forgiveness is what we get from God. In Matthew chapter 18, at verse 35, that's what we read about. And in Hebrews, the writer reiterates in Hebrews chapter 8 at verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now that's God speaking to us. And so if we want to be godly in our efforts, then this is the way to forgive. To forgive and to remember that no more. The slate has been cleaned. If we say that we're going to forgive someone, then that's what we do. We've got to clean that slate. And I understand that, you know, there's a lot more to this we want to put in because, well, there's a pattern. There's a pattern. I've got this pattern going. And if I forget those, then I have no pattern anymore. I don't have a very strong case. Well, our brother Matt Parker works a lot on things like that. Patterns. He's got to put patterns together of behavior. That's what helps him in his work. But when we're forgiving people, we have to break that pattern. And if we say we forgive, then we remember that no more. A person who forgives another won't ask, "Does this mean now that I got to shake their hand? You know, I'll apologize or I'll forgive, but I don't want to shake their hand." No? Well, did you really forgive? What's going on in there? "Well, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to speak to him anymore." Well, I mean, these are things that you hear. These are things that you See, people do. Just as God's forgiveness of our sins heals that breach between Him and us, so should our forgiveness be to our brothers and sisters and those who have sinned against us or that we've sinned against them. That forgiveness should then connect you once again. It should put you back in the right place. And it's not only important that men have a forgiving attitude toward one another, but we all must receive forgiveness from God, or else we die in our sins. And consequently, we meet our Lord unprepared. In Revelation chapter 21, at verse 27, "But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." So if we're not prepared, if we haven't accepted the forgiveness of God, if we've not asked Him, then you know what? We're putting ourselves at risk. We've got to make certain that our relationship with God is complete and connected. And that when there's sin involved, we have to go and ask Him for that forgiveness. We need to, because if not, right here we see, our name will be blotted out of that book of life. And that's why I say this is such an important matter when it comes to this idea of forgiveness. And I think to understand the importance of forgiveness, all we really have to do is look to Calvary. And when we put our focus and our thoughts there, we really can see what forgiveness is all about. You know, Christ came into this world, this wicked world, this sinful world, and He lived among the men. And He died for us. And He died a horrible death on Calvary's cross. And He did it for the sins of mankind. He died for us, for you and me, for our sins, for my sins. What a gift. Where would I be without it? I'd have no hope. None at all. The Hebrew writer said that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. In another text, the Hebrew writer said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We were talking this afternoon with a young group and trying to express the debt that some have, the great debt. Everybody has debt. But I think it's how you look at it. And for one who was not brought up in the church, as myself, I, through conversation, are beginning to believe and beginning to believe that I see my debt differently than others, because I was lost but was out doing things very contrary to what the Lord's word would direct us. So when I think about the sacrifice that was made, and I think about the forgiveness that was given to me, I'm overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with joy that God would think enough of me, has promised long before I ever came to this being that he would forgive me if I followed him. I tell you, it is now my duty to share that same act of forgiveness to everyone else. It comes around full circle when we recognize our own debt and what God did for us and what he continues to do for us. And if we think about that on a regular basis, we should be able to easier let go and to forgive others as he's done for us. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 12 that at the time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Folks, without God's forgiveness, that's who we are. No hope. However, with his forgiveness, we now are a new person and able to do some unbelievable things with his help. We just have to direct it in the right way. But it starts with accepting his forgiveness and extending that forgiveness to others. Do you forgive in the way that God intends? In Mark chapter 11 at verse 25 and 26, Brother Magnus read this for us earlier. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let us take that thought into the week and do our best to perfect the idea of forgiveness. This evening, before we depart this place, as we do every time we get together, we have opportunity to make anything that currently is not right with God, right with God. The Lord's invitation we extend for any and all, for those who have contemplated baptism. Maybe that's something you've been thinking about. If it is, this is a perfect time. No better time than right now. If you just need the prayers, encouragement of your brothers and sisters. And I think, you know, we were talking about this afternoon as Matt concluded the morning service and his last little words that he gave to each one of us. We really appreciated that. And we are here for one another to help you to move a little further along that walk, to help in any way we can to assist. Prayers, encouragement, time, whatever your need may be, we are willing, ready, and able to help. All that we ask is you let us know by coming to the front right now as we stand and as we sing.